I'm Pinchas Grumman. I have a smicha from the Rosh Yeshiva, one of those few who did get a smicha. I was there in the years of 1950, end of 1950.
Where did you come from? Where were you before that?
Before that, I was in France.
In France. You were born in Europe?
I was born in Russia.
In Russia, where?
Do you know anything about Russia?
A little bit. I was there. Not Russia, I was in White Russia and Vilna and these places.
Okay. White Russia is not Vilna, but
I know that's Lithuania.
I was born in Ukraine.
Ukraine, okay.
And in the age of two, my father was sent out from Ukraine for Master Mikoyvim. And we settled in a city called Oryol.
Where was that city? Where was that?
This was the city 420 kilometers south of Moscow.
Uh-huh. Also Ukraine?
No, nothing 400 kilometers south of Moscow is Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
This is central Russia.
Uh-huh.
And in 1941, when the war broke out with Germany, and they are closing in on that city, Oryol, we were evacuated to Samarkand, which is Uzbekistan, which is in Central Asia, which today is an independent country called Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
And from Uzbekistan, we went to Poland. Most probably the details how Russian citizens could get to Poland, which is a story by itself, is not interesting.
That's not. I just need background to put you in the right place.
Okay.
So the people understand who's talking.
And you and I, we took a local bus in through Europe with stops in Poland, Czechoslovakia, France.
Yeah.
And America.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was learning the Yeshiva Ketana.
We in America?
In France.
Oh, France.
When I came to America, I went to Lakewood.
He went directly to Lakewood.
Right.
From the boat.
From the boat. There was no boat.
Oh, I don't know.
Lakewood, but. From the boat, I went to New York.
You went with your parents?
And, not exactly with my parents, sort of a few months separate from my parents all over Europe.
All right.
But, Rosh Hashanah, actually, I was on a boat, and that's the first time that I blew shofar, and all the Italians on that boat that heard the chauffeur told me that they could do a better job than I.
You yourself blew the chauffeur.
And so those Italian fellows, one of them tried really seriously to teach me how to play a good melody on the chauffeur.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work for me anyway.
Uh-huh.
Didn't work for him either. I went to Lakewood.
Yeah.
And when I left Lakewood, I got a smicha from the Rosh Yeshiva.
You came to, so how did you know to go to Lakewood as a place to go?
I didn't know. When I was in France, I heard the Rosh Yeshiva giving a shiur in Bailly.
In Europe?
Did you hear of Bailly in France?
Never heard of it.
Surprising, because that was the first yeshiva after the churban of yeshiva of some caliber. It was a pretty big kollel.
Yeah, in France.
And the yeshiva gave a shir of which I did not understand one single word.
What year was that?
That year was probably 48.
Uh-huh.
48, 49, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
Right.
And, I had in Lakewood Yeshiva when I came to America, I had an uncle. His name was Saul Goldman.
Uh-huh.
You heard that name?
No. I don't recall.
I guess you're not very much familiar with Lakewood.
I'm only here 37 years, that's all.
Oh, somebody 37 years would expect.
Oh, I was before that. I mean, that's all before my time.
Anyway, but Lakewood, the beginning of Lakewood are very much synonymous with Saul Goldman, who was a Kletzker.
Oh, he's a Talmud Kletzker.
And he was a Talmud Rashiv from before, and maybe one of the few Talmidim that actually had the derech of the Rish Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
That is, not you, and I'm quoting the Rish Yeshiva. It is nishke fakvetch der mirror. But and again, I don't know if you want to quote it or not. He was describing his son-in-law.
Yeah.
Reb Dov Schwarzman.
Uh-huh.
You heard of him?
Oh, sure, I've heard of him. Yeah.
So
he's on my list too.
It is nishke fakvetch der mirror, but he's
uh-huh.
The Lebedek of Talmud Chochem. Again, if you want to quote that, don't quote it my name.
Okay.
this was off
record.
Of the coffin was probably.
Before I give anything out to anybody, these tapes are going to be edited and looked over by other people.
Yeah, so he was talking very, very proudly of him, and that's true. Reb Doiv actually did resemble the Rosh Yeshiva's Derech HaLearning.
Uh-huh.
Much more than much more than others.
Where did Reb Doiv come from?
There's a story. So the story is most probably at age 50, you know, 57.
Yeah.
And so the story must be 55.
Uh-huh.
Give and take. This takes place in this marriage of Lakewood,
yeah,
on Forest Avenue, formerly until Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure you know those things, right?
I don't know if that was a Hotel Tel Aviv, but I know that the yeshiva was on 7th.
All right, but I do know it's a Hotel Tel Aviv.
Yeah, okay.
And it's corner Forest and 7th.
Right.
Across the street from Brunswick.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, 7th, no, Brunswick's on 9th.
Okay, so not across the street. A block across the
street.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. That's a block further. And there is, okay, there was a Jew that moved to Forest, that lived on Forest, moved on Forest Avenue. And he was a Balabos and Amoris,
yeah,
a total Amoris.
Uh-huh.
But he came from a Russian city, Maikop,
mm-hmm,
which intrigued me a great deal because that's North Caucasian mountains,
uh-huh,
and I did not know that there were any Jews that lived there.
Uh-huh.
So I befriended him. And I was sort of, he would ask me, Shilas, sometimes which Yom to say, not Shilas that need looking up in Yeredei or Achayim.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
He was a simple man, spent maybe 2 hours, and he was saying every day Mamodes.
Uh-huh.
You know what Mamodes is?
I know what it is, but I never said it.
You never said it. Okay, don't be terribly proud about, but I didn't say it either, but it's okay.
Okay.
But anyway, in one of my droshes, when I mentioned things that got lost in America,
yeah,
Mamodis is one of them.
Uh-huh.
Mamodis, you don't see any Mamodis in any Siddur anymore.
Siddur, but
there are no Mamodis printed in any Siddur.
No?
No.
I have to check.
Okay, check. go to this Medrash, pick up the first 100 Sidurim,
yeah,
and if there will be one of them with Mamodis, please call me up.
Okay.
Another thing that I said got lost in America was Mizrahi.
Was right. You mean the party?
The party.
Yeah.
It was right.
Yeah.
Third thing I wanted to say, that Talmud Torah got lost in America.
Yeah.
There used to be a lot of Talmud Torah. Oh, God.
Oh,
anyway,
Thomas,
this is Hagavur.
Yeah.
So my mother said, he said, my mother.
Yeah.
I didn't say my mother, but by the time I came from breakfast, back from 6th Street breakfast, 627, 6th Street breakfast, when I came back, he was still saying some stuff.
Yeah.
My mother is still alive.
Yeah.
I come in there, and the man runs over to me with a terror on his face. He says, you know what happened to me? He says, no. I said the wrong my mother's.
Hey, hey.
It was Yom Shlishi, he said Yom Revi, Yom Shlishi, one of those.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember which. What do I do now? So I don't know what got into me. Sometimes those things get to me.
Yeah.
Instead of saying him, so say Yom Revi, or say Yom Shlishi, he said, you know something? That kind of a question you should ask the Rosh Hashiva.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know. I mean, I'm looking back at that. Why you said it? I'm not gonna. Well, why did you? I'll go with you. You ask the Rosh Hashiva.
Uh-huh.
So it's fine. I'll ask the Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
2021. So I come over with him to Rosh Hashiva. And ask the Shmoy the Shiloh.
Uh-huh.
And as I hoped for, the Rosh Hashiva with a sprinkling in his eyes says, bring me Ragruisa Gemora.
Uh-huh.
Bring me the grass to Gemora. Bring me the grass to Gemora.
Mm-hmm.
For a split second, I did not know, and then I realized what the Rosh Hashiva meant.
Uh-huh.
I went to the wall, and I pulled out the biggest Baba Basra, Schlesinger Baba Basra, that I could see, right? See a big Baba Basra, and I gave it to Rosh Hashiva.
Uh-huh.
The Rosh Hashiva smiled approvingly, like, Otadosuba Gemeint, and he opened up the Baba Basra, Gemishtahir, most probably a minute,
uh-huh.
and he said the Zog. Zok Mamodas for Yom Revi or Yom Shlishi, whichever the case was.
Uh-huh.
So I took back the Baba Basra and put it back, the biggest Gemara, and we walked back to his place in the Smadrash, back in the Smadrash. This, Yesh Konar Lovan B'Shoacha, that was it. Days after that, weeks after that, months after that,
yeah.
I cannot say years, I don't remember. If I don't remember now whether when I left, which was in 57,
uh-huh.
or 56, 57, whether the man was still there.
Uh-huh.
He used to stop somebody. I asked a question to the Shiva, and I really stumped him.
Uh-huh.
He had to pick up the biggest Gemara. Mamish Yesh Konelo, the man lived and smiled from this for months and months.
Uh-huh.
And this was very typical of Shishiva. I mean, the twinkle in his eye, he had, if I would ask somebody like that,
yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't ask anyone like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never Shiva. But there is Shiva could have. It's a story which I tell.
Yeah.
And it's a very, it's a Geshmaka story.
Right here.
And we could talk.
I wish I could.
We could talk another few times, and I'll supply you with some.
And right some now you have no time?
Huh?
You have no time now?
All right,
now?
Let's have the time. When there is Shiva. When the yeshiva bought that building on 6th Street,
mm-hmm.
Do you know the story how they bought the building?
Vaguely. Something with Menashe Rabinowitz.
The story was that there were two neighbors,
uh-huh.
two goyim, and this was a very, very exquisite place. Mm-hmm. And he had a fight with his neighbor, and the fight got very nasty. So that neighbor decided that he'll teach the guy a lesson. And he sold his property to the yeshiva. So the daughter guy had to move. That property became vacated, and eventually Zerubin bought it. Zerubin. After somebody else.
Zerubin had a house next to the yeshiva.
Right. So that's how he got it.
Uh-huh.
Because the guy was. So anyway, when they bought this, property, so they decided they were going to decide what to do with the furniture.
Uh-huh.
It was very expensive and very interesting furniture. And then they were talking about the remodeling. The Rosh Yeshiva said something. So I do not remember who, but it was Klein from the Bartons or somebody else.
Yeah.
Said the Mechivas Kvoterosa, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Rambam knew that this. The Yeshiva says name is Atoris.
Which Rambam?
I say, when the Yeshiva says the Rambam.
Yeah.
All right. When somebody says Rambam, the Yeshiva is correct. It says, okay, that's a good understanding. But when it comes to furniture remodeling, So he says,
Gemara.
Yeah. One of Vasa says, but Hordus.
Yeah.
All those sad ideas, after the Bova convinced him to build the Messiah, build the Messiah. That will help. After he became so much influence, it's enough dollars, I think, that he became so influenced by the Bova, and he was sorry what he did, and so you have to look up the Gemara.
Yeah.
The Gemara says that the Bova, the one that gave him, the Bova, the Chachomim gave him, said that you should put a certain marble that captures the movement of the waves of the yam, sort of the tints of the marble. It's like if you look at the marbles, you could see it looks like waves.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, Gabbai Psukim that the Bova told him, the Gemara, that this is like the waves of the yam. See, quoted to the Rishim, gave orders his ideas how to remodel the Beis HaMikdash. They should look, the beautiful walls.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that story I heard from Munim.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a reliable story, mm-hmm. a reliable version mm-hmm. of the story. The hotel that they bought is Hotel Tel Aviv on Forest and 7th. Had, as you walk in there, there was a vestibule, like it was a door from both sides. Mm-hmm. You open from one side and you walk out. And then you open the other side. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't picture it.
Okay, so please picture it.
Yeah.
In many hotels.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or at airports, sometimes the doors are rotating.
Okay,
because you walk in and they rotate.
Revolving doors.
Revolving doors, and Atada Shovishu Ben, that it has an opening for one side, and there is an opening for the other side. And in the middle, there are doors. Some are revolving doors, and some are not revolving doors. You just open, and sometimes you have a uniform
doorman
standing in Gore fancy hotel.
Yeah.
So this Tel Aviv was not a fancy hotel, but it was a hotel. But it has those not revolving doors. It has what we call the vestibule, one meaning a pair of doors.
Yeah, it's in between.
Open from one side and from the other side. Okay. One day, one morning, Davenin, I ran out and I had breakfast in the 6th Street, came back, and the Reshiva was finishing his Shira Mishneh Brura after Davening. He would learn in Talsa Tefillin Mishneh Brura.
By himself or for everybody?
No, by himself for about half an hour. If he had no telephones, that is, and if he had nobody came over, but that was his. If he could have it. And then he would take off Thousand Hill and he would go to the 6th Street for breakfast or for meetings. So it so happened that I came in and opened the door from one side. It so happened in the same moment that the Shiva opened the inner doors from the other side to walk out.
Uh-huh.
So I jumped back for Statement, you know. I jumped back. She said, no. Ihr geht zuerst, weil ihr geht doch leer. Ihr geht doch erst.
So he held that was more important.
I didn't take him up on it, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that's what he told me.
Uh-huh.
And of course I told it to everyone else. Is that meaningful to you, those two?
Everything is meaningful to me.
But
you see, my method is I pick up everything from all the details. It's like little bricks and big bricks. Everything has to go into the wall.
So that story with the Grace Gemara.
Yeah, I heard that before from you.
Huh?
I heard you say that story in the dining room here.
You heard the story what?
From you.
Yeah, from me, right.
Yeah.
And so that's a Gewaldige story.
No, you told me that already.
No, but I want to hear your opinion. The Gewaldige story?
Yeah. I know that story for so many years already.
You know the story, but the story is for me.
I heard it from you.
Yeah, you heard it from me before.
Directly
from before.
Yeah, because I was in the... You once spoke in the dining room for Shalosh Shudas. And you told that story.
Yeah, I told that story, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right, this story of the Gemara of Basra, you did not hear.
No, I didn't hear it. Nope.
The story will become more meaningfully when you open the Gemara. It's on the bottom of the second Dome at the door.
I recall that Gemara.
In the story with those two doors in Tel Aviv.
Never heard that
before.
That
really happened to me.
I never heard.
And but that story with the remodeling, you didn't hear either.
Nope.
All right, fine. We'll talk some more.